feel a little weird getting your hair cut in a salon?
It was a little odd.
Rather than a barber shop?
It's a very feminine place.
Are you feeling metro?
Luke chapter 4. We studied the thing where in verse 5, the devil taking him up into a high mountain showed him unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Couple things that he didn't. He didn't correct Satan when Satan said that all this has been delivered over to me, and whomsoever I will give it. And we saw that that same statement was in Revelation 13. So, but it is so completely not taught. That all the power and all the glory and everything in time and space has been delivered over to Satan. And if you could see that, then you'd have a totally different view of the world. It's not redeemable. It's not sanctified. It's only sanctified because it produces the antagonism. He'll use the world, and he'll use you, but he may not. He uses everything. But stop and think about all of the things that have gone on in the name of God that denied that all of the power was given over to him. Stop and think of your own ideas, your own value systems, to see how ridiculous they are in light of that statement. How can you possibly think something is important in time and space if you do, you're serving Satan. What? You're doing it, Gary.
Will it burn out?
There are none. We all want a place where our opinion is important. We all want a place where our value systems have meaning. None of them do.
Those are like the smaller end of kingdoms of this world.
Yeah, but from your standpoint, they're not small. Anyway,
it always bothered me that. Who was that guy?
I don't know. If Joe Sands talking to us,
it always bothered me that in one sentence, God turned everything over to Satan.
It's brought up all over the place, but we just don't see it because we don't want to see it.
guess it's such a big deal. It's like it's not.
It's not taught. That's the problem.
Yes, I mean, besides, nobody thinks that way. But I believe, and I know what you're saying. It's all there. But,
can you?
The highly esteemed things in the world are abomination to God. I mean, that's pretty hidden. Two before on the head.
Well, and we're going to get to the biggie here. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. We worship him anytime that we agree with him. We worship Satan every time you give breath to you, to importance to you. Now, Jesus' response, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall I serve." And it's exactly the same thing he said to Peter, because he said, "You savorest the things that be of man and not of God." So any time that you give importance to the things that of man, of any nature, in any way, you're serving Satan. And Christ will say unto you, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Let's look and see what about that. Let's look at Deuteronomy 6. Verse 10, "And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and godly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shall swear by his name." Now, what does it mean to swear by? You swear by his name. It's the same thing that says in Isaiah 26. He is the only factor in every aspect of your life. Remember it said, "Other lords besides thee have had dominion over thee, but now by thee only will we make mention of thy name." So that there is nothing in your life that isn't and hasn't always been of him. Now, in terms of what's happened to you, now him only shall thou serve.
The serve part there is the key word. I mean, serving him means, because you got all your earthly responsibilities and stuff you take care of and taking the trash out on time or whatever. So you got to do all those things.
But you have no investment in the outcome.
But you get it out late and the trash guy goes by and you got trash sitting around stinking for a week.
Well, but the point that you...
Little things like that.
I know, but you gotta hear me. Whatsoever you do in thought, in word, or in deed, you do heartily as unto the Lord. Again, everybody teaches, well, that means you gotta do your best for God. You gotta go, when you go to church, you gotta put on your Sunday best. It doesn't mean any of that. It means you have absolutely no investment in the outcome of whatever your hand touches. The minute you have an investment in the outcome, then it becomes an idol. Whatsoever you do in thought, in word, in deed, you do heartily as unto the Lord. And there is no distinction. There is none more important than another. Everything in time and space is equal. If you don't do that, if you don't see that, then you will find out. And you find out in community all the time. Because what happens if somebody interrupts you or doesn't do what you are thinking somebody should do in the timeliness that you think it should be, then what happens? You become the dark overlord instead of Sweet Pete. Harry becomes the murderer, mass murderer, instead of faithful Harry. It's so self-evident once you see it that you can't believe that you haven't seen it your whole life. No matter what you do, if you have an investment in the outcome, you've made it an idol.
Yeah, the kingdom part of it is really just, you know, it's talking about Satan. It's all given over to him. It's like everybody sees that kingdom from their own perspective, and it's this little stuff, like, you know, and if you invest your, you know, stuff into it, then you're genuflecting to Satan, you know, what seems practical or something.
The word worship here is interesting. The word worship means literally to kiss the hand of. I used to say it meant to give Satan a blowjob, but I don't say that anymore.
What does it actually mean?
It means to kiss the hand up. And I just changed it a little bit. Okay, let's go to, well, no, we're still reading. Thou shalt fear the Lord, in verse 13 of chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God in him and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him at Massah. Now, we're going to get to that in a minute, but this whole idea of thou shalt serve, it's that Greek word that sounds like it's latriou. And I always think about latril. What is that stuff of the use?
Latril.
The
stuff that helps with cancer?
Yeah, the seed from a apricot or peach or something. Anyway. You have to see that everything you do is this word, latrio. And it means it's the highest service that you can do in the temple of God. And so that's why you make mention of his name only. He is the only aspect of your life. There is no other. There's no secular life. There's no spiritual. And it's all one. That everything that your hand touches, everything your mind thinks, is to be this holy service in the temple. It's equal to the service of the high priest in the temple. And so if your temple, you as the temple of the living God, you remember if it wasn't done correctly while the high priest was in, he would be killed and the world would come to an end. That's what their belief system was. But you have to have the same fear of God, that everything that you're doing is equal before him. Whatever happens, there's no ranking. And if you've redeemed the time, then you can't possibly be late. The only thing that you can do is it's everything. It's faith that worketh by love. Him only shall thou serve. There is no other If you don't see that, then automatically your mind will serve this other thing. Your mind will serve some task that you're doing. And the minute you do that, you start ranking that there's things more important than other things. And the minute you do that, then you've put the evil one back on the throne. Yeah. Because you're judging good and evil.
Yeah, the things more important than other things, and then there's people more important than other people. All because right. They're connected to that, and it goes on and on. You're wrapped up in that kingdom.
Does everybody understand this? What?
Don't have a chance.
Huh?
Don't have a chance.
That's why repentance is the only option.
Yeah.
That's why every time you see yourself taking a stand about something, no matter how you justify it, it can't be a value. It's the simplest thing there is. If you ignore this thing.
It's interesting in hearing all this, it's like my mind is trying to make a mathematical equation. All comes together and there's a formula and it works. My mind's trying to make this work.
Okay, here's what happens, and this is why testing what you believe and think is so important. If you make your parameter small enough, you can prove to yourself anything with the Bible. But that's why you must expand the pegs of your tent. And expand the rope to the edge of time and space itself. And then see whether that has value in that larger. Take the barriers off. Take the boundaries off your ideas. And you'll see how foolish they are. That's what it means. That's what it means to come to really to read the book of Ecclesiastes. It takes everything and takes it to the farthest point there is and lays it bare and says, it's vanity of vanities, emptiness of emptiness, futility of futility. All is empty, vain, futile. And anything else but serving him is chasing wind. Vexation of spirit literally means chasing wind. You can't catch it. But watch your day. Watch what happens during the day. This is where the reality is. It doesn't matter whether you believe when you're sitting in here. Oh, I believe it. No. It's what happens in the test, in the extreme tests.
I was thinking about that. Most people, when you read the Bible, what you're doing is you're gerrymandering,
yeah.
You know, like a political maps to make it all work for you, you know. And so you map out the things that you really want to believe in, and the ignore scriptures, like we used to talk about.
All right, let's go to Deuteronomy 10. Verse 16. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. What does that mean? You got the foreskin circumcised. It says the foreskin of your heart is circumcised, and your ears must be circumcised. Ears first. What does it mean? Circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. That means you've lost every opinion. You've lost every value system. Again, remember, we are named Trinity because of what I experienced and saw with that thermonuclear bomb. It vaporized everything as it never existed. And that's the only thing that came close to describing what my own conversion experience was. It vaporized all the value systems. Then then instantly you try to build them back up again. If you build again the things that have been destroyed, that you have destroyed, you make yourself the transgressor. And so the circumcision of the foreskin of your heart means that every opinion, every value system you have disappears. And it's replaced only by faith. And it's especially true about how you think people should be. That's where you get caught, because you just stop and think about your talks with others, especially when you're talking about somebody. You're always pointing your finger at saying, well, that person should be different. And so that's the biggest tell. That's an instant tell that you haven't circumcised the foreskin of your heart. Then you begin to expand it out. And then you have opinions about everything. And then, about little things in your life. And slowly but surely, I have opinion. I've said it 100 times about those stupid labels up there. Well, I can see the silliness of it. But I still get reminded of the silliness every time I look at it. And so there's little things in your life that slowly but surely, and then it gets to the bigger things, the opinions about politics or the opinions about this or that, and pretty soon they all are dissolved. So you stand naked before him. That's the circumcision of the foreskin of your heart. Can everybody, please, if you don't agree, say something. If you don't understand, say something. This is too important. Otherwise, you'll just be another Gentile that's put a label on yourself. Is everybody, so by your silence, I assume all of you are doing exactly what I've just said.
Right now. Being a stranger in a strange land, I was thinking about that in terms of this kingdom, and that's why we have to be that way. It's because we don't have an attachment, to the value system. And it, in the ancient world, that was dangerous because you were
pretty much
dead. You didn't have anybody,
you didn't have any allies.
And you certainly didn't have any, your value system was left behind from wherever you came from. And then you weren't part of the one you're in, and you were just there, and with only God to protect you. And that's how we are.
You're naked, but unashamed. Totally vulnerable.
This is not different than outside the door. It's all, there's a marriage between what we talk about and then who we are. It comes together in the smallest activities of our life. And that's where this all means something, because then we can sit in here and say amen all day, but we walk out and leave it here. It's just academic. But it's like what John said earlier, it's like we don't have a chance. It really makes it all the sense, because we can't do this.
Of course you can do it. You do it by repentance, because you've finally seen the stupidity of the value system that you held on before. Of course you can do it.
Just by nature of the fact that you say you repent 1,000 times a day tells me I can't do it.
Because if you repented once, it should do the deal.
No. You repent 1,000 times a day when I was a brand new believer. Now the what?
You don't repent 1,000 times a day anymore?
I don't think I do. I don't repent as often. I haven't counted them up.
But once you do it, once you repent, that should be it. I'm done.
No, then the
but
test
you go back, and that's the same thing that we do.
Yeah, but that, again, then you repent again.
Right.
But you repent not
that
for the action.
That doesn't mean you
Wait,
don't get it.
No. You repent not for the action or the thing you do. You repent because you've resurrected you.
Exactly. No argument there, but you say you keep saying to us, do it, don't you get it? Do it, don't you get it? We get it, but we don't do it.
Why?
Because we're flesh. And that's not an excuse. And so you repent and you don't do it
because you held on to something.
Okay. Right.
Right. And it can be anything. It can be any issue. You've held on to it. And so that keeps repentance from being total.
When you say do it, you mean repent.
Right.
It's
but the repentance, but repentance is easy. Repentance is as natural as breathing. If you see the vanity of everything, if you don't see the vanity of everything, then repentance. Well, then you probably don't really, really, really believe that Jesus Christ is in you, or else you believe your thoughts are sanctified somehow. I'm a believer, therefore my thoughts and ideas are sanctified. They're the thoughts of Christ. Crap. That's so many people believe that. People that we know. People I deal with. Well, I'm dealing with them less and less lately because they don't come around much anymore. All right. We're back. We're still in 10. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love you, therefore, the stranger, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him alone shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. And you remember what this swear by his name doesn't mean you're taking an oath. It means there's no aspect, no thought, no emotion that that isn't centered in him. Thus he is thy praise, and he is thy God that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thy eyes have seen. As the serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety, let nothing confuse your mind from the simplicity that is in him, in Christ. This isn't hard. It's no more difficult than breathing.
Yeah, that beguiling was very simple. It was a temptation to decide for yourself good and evil. And
that gives you the illusion of control.
Yeah, and that's what happens all day, everywhere, period. It's what your mind is always about.
All right, real quickly back. Well, anyway, that's the first and second temptation. The first one was turn the stones into bread. The second one was showing him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now the third one is about him being on the pinnacle of the temple, and we'll hopefully get into that tomorrow. But it is when you say it's hard, it's you can't do it or whatever, your mind can't do anything. That's why this is why we have to have community in order to live this. Well, we have to exhort one another daily while it's still called today. And this is why it must be, if there's something in this mystery that you or the preachment that you don't agree with, then it must be spoken. Well, I can't. I don't. Oh, you'll make me feel bad or something. Well, that's crap.
Usually what the problem is we're forgetting that if you ever tell us to do something, we should shoot you.
That's right. The only thing except for repent.
Yeah.
Him alone shalt thou serve. Swear only by his name. Amen?
Amen.
John? Amen?
Yeah. What's wild about this that I saw today as we were reading it was that this is like the most direct confrontation, you know, of it. It's like set up like a dualistic struggle between good and evil, except that that's not what happened here, you know. Jesus has, you know, there's a testing and a temptation, but it's not anything. You know, there was not even a struggle. It was just the questions.
Amen.
And, it's like Satan saying to Jesus, worship me. It's pretty direct, you know, the most direct kind of thing since, Genesis, where we see
since
Satan like coming right out and going like,
yeah,
do this.
Look, if you serve any part of yourself, you're serving Satan.
I was thinking the serve part is the remaining under, it's the obedience. And that's the position of a servant. Not deciding for yourself.
All the stuff we talked about, ranking is what gets you. I mean, you'll be swept aside. Would you see how often you rank people and situations and things? And that ranking has to be seen as that's the subtlety of the evil one.
And this really was one of the better Bible studies.
Take a big guy.